Call this regular meeting of the Unalaska City Council to order at 6 p.m. Tuesday, December 14th, 2023. I'll ask Darren Nicholson to read the mission statement, please.
To provide a sustainable quality of life through excellent stewardship of government.
Okay, thank you very much, Councilman Nicholson. May I have a roll call, please?
Certainly, sir. Mr. Bell?
Present.
Ms. Foreman?
Here.
Ms. Luby?
Here.
Mr. Nicholson?
Here.
Mr. Robinson?
Present.
Mr. Tungle?
Here.
And Mr. Chudiakov?
Here. We do have a quorum. Please join me and Councilman Tungle as we do the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Councilman Tungle. Welcome all those in the gallery and those on the phone. Happy Valentine's Day. We're working. All right, thank you for being here. I have a motion and a second to adopt the agenda, please.
I make a motion to adopt the agenda.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Nicholson, seconded by Councilman Robinson. No objection. The agenda is adopted. The agenda is adopted. Next item is approval of minutes of the previous meeting. I have a motion and a second to approve the proposed minutes of the meetings held January 24th and January 27th, 2023.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes of January 24th, 2023 and January 27th, 2023.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Robinson and seconded by Councilman Nicholson. Hearing no objections, the proposed minutes are approved. Those minutes are approved. Next item is the financials for December 2022. I'll turn this over to the city manager.
I was hoping Clay would be on the line, but he's not here. So I need to pull up my computer. But things are looking all right. Less expenditures than where we are for the year. Hold on just a second. We're getting there. Uh-huh. Get that. Ask and you shall receive. You can go through the first page. You have your typical graphs on year-to-date, general government revenues. Revenues are at about $30 million for the year. We're where we should be for the year. We are at about Build graphs. Any questions on that? Any of these graphs here? Do people get a chance to look at them?
Just down.
What do you got? What am I doing? Nothing, right?
Councilman Robinson.
Yeah, I appreciate the summary that Clay puts together at the head of the financial report. It's really helpful. It pinpoints a lot of the different accounts that we kind of keep an eye on. But it looks like it's doing good. Other than the cost of fuel is like way high.
Cost of fuel is way high. Our revenues are actually at 92% of the budget, which is pretty amazing, but it's an accrual type of budget, so that's good. And we're at $14 million in expenditures year-to-date for FY23. Net surplus deficit is showing a surplus of $7.9 million. And then it goes through the 1% tax revenue, bed tax, tobacco tax, and then goes into, of course, the proprietary funds, and everybody's keeping their expenditures, I think, where they should be. Anybody have any questions on any of the funds, revenues, anything that's transpiring? I don't see any red flags in the financials for December. When is the audit on the calendar? It's supposed to be the 28th, isn't it? It'll either be the 28th or the first meeting in March, which is a good thing. I always like to get the audit in January if you can get it, because it helps with budgeting for the next year. We need to know what we just did in order to decide what we want to do. But I think things are in pretty good shape.
Okay, we have any questions for Chris on the financials at this time? None? Thanks, Chris. Look forward to seeing January's. Next, I've got the city manager's report, and I'll turn this over to City Manager Laddick.
Yeah, thank you very much. And we've been working pretty hard on the CMMP, and tonight we have a presentation on Captain's Bay Road. We are going to make sense out of Captain's Bay Road. It's a complicated project, and we'll continue to work on it until we get it to the point where every council member can understand exactly where we are on that. We are going to make sense of the CMMP, and the staff's been working really hard on that. I do want to say that everybody that's been working on Captain's Bay Road, everybody is trying to do the right thing, trying to figure out their darndest on how to do it, trying to identify as many grant opportunities as possible. And due to the size and complexity of it, with utilities combined, water and sewer and electric, and paving and the cost of all of it, it gets pretty complicated pretty quick. We're hopefully going to distill some of that down so you can understand it. And also in the near future, I am going to get that CMMP figured out. And we are working internally to simplify it, distill it down to its problems, the issues that I think we have, and how things move forward. And then also have Clay Darnell is working on a separate presentation on proprietary funds, creating the revenues projections and revenues and expenditures for the last 10 years, and basically the discussion we had on the general fund, so that you can see each utility individually and where they're actually at. So that's in the works, and I'm really proud of the work that these guys are doing. We got CAPSIS done and in today, which is the legislative portal for capital projects, and you have to have it done by today at 5 o'clock. We squeaked by and made that happen. So that's a good thing, and it's all the projects that we had on our resolution for priorities for the city. We also talked with the IRT today, and was that yesterday? We talked about the IRT today. We talked with folks from the IRT and talking about they have money that fell out of the sky to come out and do a reassessment from their 2020 list of projects that they got. And they say they have money to do a project. We didn't get from them how much money they have, but they would come out, do a reconnaissance, basically update the list of projects that we had before. And then we all need to decide if there's a project we'd like them to do and move forward with. So I think that's really positive news. So can't think of anything else right off the hand that you need to know right now.
Any questions for Chris? Councilman Luby?
Yeah, I was just curious. So we've talked about lots of different revenues, and but nobody has said anything about the special fund revenues. We haven't looked at that at all. So I was just curious, are we going to see that as well?
I think that's a good point. We'll make sure that we show some graphs on that historically, and I would like to know how much is in that fund as well. It's part of the puzzle.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any further questions for city manager? Okay. Thanks, Chris. Move on. Next item is the community input announcements. This is a time for members of the public to provide information to council or make announcements of interest to the community. Please come to the podium, use the microphone, and state your name. Hey, there he is, right on the center.
That's Project Lakely. Parks and Recreation Director. We have coming up on Saturday, September 25th, our polar bear run. Check-in will be at 1 o'clock, 1:30 will be the start of the race. Registration and start will be at the PCR building parking lot. Then on Sunday the 26th is Triple Bounce Day, and that's from 1 to 3, 5th grade and under. It's for little kids, and it's all of the blow-up equipment in the gym so kids can run and have a great time. So we're looking for those two things happening this weekend. Look forward to it. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Lynn Crane, USAFE. February is Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month, so we've been doing some activities at the PCR on Fridays. They did some last Friday. They'll do some this Friday and next Friday. We also will be doing some cooperative activities with APIA's Healthy Relationships Program. They're coming out a little bit later this month. And I hope to be doing a couple of radio shows with Delta Bedard from APIA on some behavioral health issues. I don't know if y'all saw the CDC report that just came out on teen mental health, which is not good. And in particular, we know that girls are really struggling right now. One in five, 18% experienced sexual violence in the past year, up 20% since 2017 when CDC started monitoring this. More than one in 10 or 14% have been forced to have sex in the last year, up 27% since 2019. So clearly these issues are ongoing and outliving the pandemic and very important. So USAFE will be taking this into consideration as we plan our future outreach activities, and we hope when we have events that are community-wide that we'll see you there. On a lighter note, Soup Off is Saturday, March 25th. Hope to see you there. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Marjorie?
City Clerk has a few announcements. They're up on the screen if you want to follow along. March 1st is the deadline for senior citizens and disabled veterans to apply for their property tax exemptions. And it's also the deadline for businesses to submit their business personal property returns. March 15th, Mayor and Council, you want to know about this one, and Mr. Laddick, because the public official's financial disclosure form is due March 15th. And that's also for, as well as Mayor and Council and the city manager, it's also for the Planning Commission and the school board members. And then March 31st is the deadline for senior citizens to apply for that sales tax refund. That's all I've got. For the public official's financial disclosure, the fine is $10 per day if you don't file, and that adds up pretty fast. So don't be late. And the city does not cover that for you.
Yeah. Okay, great. Thank you for those deadlines reminders. Any further announcements? Okay. We'll move on. The city clerk, are there any written comments submitted by Zoom or on the phone?
No, there weren't.
Thank you. Next is the public comment on agenda items. This is time for members of the public to provide information to the council regarding items on the agenda. They don't want to wait until the items comes up for a regular agenda. To comment later during the regular agenda, you need to sign up with the city clerk. Please come to the podium, state your name, and give us your comments. Okay. Is there anyone on on Zoom or telephone wish to make comment?
No, sir.
Thank you. Next up is our work session. May I have a motion and a second to go into work session, please?
I make a motion to go into a work session.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Tungle, seconded by Councilman Luby. There's no objection. We are going into the work session at 6:14. And the first item under our work session is a Captain's Bay Road Improvement and Utility Upgrade Project. I'll turn this over to the city manager at this time.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Council members, this is on the agenda for several reasons. One, at the last council meeting, Tom Koner talked about putting in for the STIP, and we want to make sure you know what we are putting in. I think it goes in on the 24th of February, so it wasn't going to, we wouldn't have an opportunity at the next council meeting to talk about what's being applied for in the current STIP and also give you, you know, I believe it was in December when you got the report on phasing the project. So now we want to really, we're starting to dig into the details as well as talking with Trident about their project. So this is very much in front of everybody. But we want to, before we put in for these grants that are $15 to $20 million, City Council should know what it is that staff's putting in for. So we'd like to do that. And I'm committed to getting this project to a point that anyone can understand it. We'll have it on the wall in the council chambers as well as the CMP. And then as time allows, we're also going to get all the projects that have already been approved with dates and times of completion, et cetera, so that the city council can see that too. And not just once a quarter get an update on the projects and not really understand what those projects are. So I'm going to turn it over to Bill Homka for a few minutes before he turns it over to Bob Cummings. Thank you.
Good evening. So as Chris said, tonight we are going to try and drill down into the Captain's Bay Road Corridor Plan, what the project is. I want you to know that we listened to you. We heard you. The questions that we're getting from you prove that it hasn't been heretofore explained very clearly. I think a lot of that's because you see it on a CMMP with some numbers on it, and suddenly it's being revised for a grant application. Then we're talking about, you know, phases or segments. It gets kind of confusing, and it's a huge project, and it's kind of hard. It's like a Rubik's Cube. How does it go together? You see it's a square, but to get it right, you kind of have to put some time into it. So what you're going to see tonight is a completely revamped way to look at the project. You're going to be looking at it by utility project, by the fund, to help explain it in those terms instead of talking about which fund, which utility, each segment, because that gets confusing. And then how we anticipate grants or external funds to help supplement those activities. It's also why it was, I think, finally completed 5 minutes before this meeting. You didn't get all of the information ahead of time. So I have to apologize for that. But I wanted to be sure, we wanted to be sure that it was clear. So I'm sure if there are other questions, we will work to address those. But I'm hoping that the work that Steve Tompkins, Bob Cummings, and Thomas Rufus have put into this will redeem ourselves in this project so that it's clear. And like Chris said, so everyone can understand where we're going. And with that, I just really wanted to introduce that rather than Bob coming up and start talking about our grants. And it's a new way of looking at it again, right? So I wanted to be clear. Margie, if you'll just hit the next slide. You've seen this one, I think, before. And that concludes my presentation. Is it clear?
No.
Okay. I don't know. It's been like this. So you'll see, you've seen this before. These numbers have all been changed. Gosh, you might have to zoom in a little bit. But again, overall, it's the road. But there's segments, but we're going to look at it from more like the funds and the utilities. And with that, I think Bob is the best suited to explain this new approach. So, Bob.
Good evening, and thank you. This graphic was first developed, I think Bill presented this in the corridor improvement plan back at the end of 2022. But yeah, we've revamped the numbers, and please bear with us. It's a $70 million project with a lot of different components, and we're doing our best with the numbers, with the information that we have. For example, if we talk about segment A, which is right now sort of a good example. So segment A, we think of as Airport Beach to Westward. And you can see there that we have in that project, we have sewer for $1 million and paving is $13.2 million. So as a sort of microcosm of this project, in this segment, we already have electric infrastructure, so that's why you don't see electric. We already have our water line to that, and that's why that's not in there. And we have sewer all the way to Westward, but we don't have it through Westward. So in this segment on the paving, let's talk about paving first. So we have the $13.2 million figure there. We are in the process of applying for two different grants. One is through Federal Highways, and that's what is the RAISE is the project. And that every sort of grant program has different stipulations and different guidelines. And for that project, for the RAISE, it's actually a $10 million project. But it only goes up to Westward. It doesn't go through Westward. It goes to the fuel tanks there right after Pyramid Creek road intersection. And the reason that is that the requirement for that grant is the benefit cost analysis has to come up greater than one, and that's where that happens. But we've presented here the sort of the worst case scenario, which is the second grant opportunity that we are pursuing, and that's through the Alaska Department of Transportation. They have estimated the cost of that project to be $13.2 million, but the scope of that goes from the intersection a little bit past Westward. There's Overnight Creek. There's a culvert that crosses the road that goes underneath the road there, and that's where that project ends. So it's $13.2 million. The maximum grant for that and this is what has been referred to as a STIP. There's a sub-program within the STIP called the Community Transportation Program, CTP, and this is the program that we're applying for these funds. So that's 13.2. Of that 13.2, the minimum required match is 9%, and the maximum, you don't get any more points if you contribute more than 24%. So we're assuming that that's the amount that we would contribute unless council thinks otherwise. So that's sort of, we try to break it down, make it as simple as possible, such as that we're only breaking this road project into four segments, but it gets a little bit complicated when you drive down into the details. So are there any questions on segment A maybe? Maybe I'll start that way.
Councilman Robinson.
Yeah, as far as the electric distribution line, we've got electric in every segment of this. Is the plan to be able to take the first segment, or do we have to upgrade the wire size or something to carry the load that's currently there?
In segment A, it's not required to upgrade the conductor.
Right, but subsequent.
Yeah, in segment B, where we already have a conductor in the ground, we would have to upgrade that if we have a new customer down the road.
Right, and then as we get the OSI and the new Trident facility, we're probably going to have to upgrade them again.
Yeah, so that whole from segments B, C, and D, it all have to be up. Well, in segment C and D, yeah, it would have to be upgraded as well.
Right, and then another question is, has there been any thought about maybe putting a concrete abutment to the transition from gravel to pavement, to blacktop? Because we, you know, it gets, has a tendency to damage the blacktop considerably.
You're talking about at
the when it ends at Westward, you know, and a transition. I mean, I know it's going to cost more, but I don't know if it's going to, if the cost would outweigh the benefits.
Oh, that hasn't, I mean, we haven't done final design, so that hasn't looked in specifically, but we can definitely analyze that when it becomes final design. If we're...
Right. I'm just worried about tearing up the new pavement as, you know, as we put it down,
sort of waiting for the
next
approach.
Segment to get done.
No, that makes sense. Yep. We can look into that. Are there any...
Great. Thank you. Councilman Tungo.
Yeah, okay. So I see this in the different presentation. Different presentation before is different. You got this by segment. Is this different from the pace that we're going to do? Or this is pretty much the segment we're talking here? Is the pace of the work?
The phasing.
This is the pace?
Yes, in general, the phasing is...
Well, so you're calling it segment now. Before, we're calling it in paces, right?
Yeah. Yes, I'm sorry.
So we're doing part of sewer and cutting it up partly in there instead of doing sewer all the way across on the first phase and doing electric.
Okay.
I'm kind of.
So I don't think the plan is to pave anything until all the utilities are in because we're not going to pave by segment. So realize that we're divided this up because each of these has different needs alone, but it's not the timing. I can't say that segment A, we're going to do it all and pave it. With the economy of scale of having to do four paving projects instead of one from start to finish.
That's so where I'm coming
that's
from.
That's kind of what
I was doing. Yeah. I thought this is the pieces that we're going to do.
No.
We're going to partially put something on its segment, which don't make any sense. We're gonna put sewer all the way just to Westward and then carry it up in there and carry it up. Same thing with the pavement. It's kind of.
Yeah, basically, the way to look at this is paving is last. Okay. Your water and sewer is probably gonna go in together because you're gonna have a ditch. And the conduit is already there. We just need to pull the conductor through for the electrical all the way to OSI. Is that correct, Steve? Yeah. So in the section that you're looking at for OSI, that's we're doing to OSI and how it gets done out to Trident is their responsibility.
I understand that.
So then you have the phasing. I know it's confusing, but yeah, they're in phases, but those segments of the utilities got to go in first.
Yeah, I just want to clarify.
Yeah.
That's where my confusion I thought we're finishing the paving and anything before we even go forward past WSI. So that, thank you for that.
And this slide might help explain that in a little bit. It might be clearer this way where it's broken down by year. And so, for example, right now, FY23 and before, we, as Chris just mentioned, we have electrical conduit all the way to OSI. And we have a waterline extension to North Pacific Fuel partially funded, and we're working on getting the balance of that funding either through CAPSIS or the State Revolving Loan Fund. So that would bring us, so we have those two projects then, sewer and segment A, and this is only contingent if we get the CTP or STIP as it's known, also paving application for segment A. That's a little bit of a confusing segment, I realize. And then going forward, if we have all these utilities in segment A, then we can pave. Just segment A, just paving segment A. Then going on, we had this safety improvements, which is the blasting of Dead Man's Curve and bringing that curve down. That's also, we're going out for future grants for that. Then we have the, and this again is a, if Trident requires city water, these next projects are all dependent on if we have a customer further down the road. So the waterline extension, this waterline extension FY25, we're assuming that we've already extended the water to North Pacific Fuel. If Trident requires water, we would then extend the water to Trident. The same thing as Chris mentioned, water and sewer, you generally do at the same time. And so that's the same thing. If Trident requires sewer and water, we would do that project. And that one, the sewer, we'd have to go back up to westward. And so then the electrical upgrades, again, if Trident requires electrical, we'd extend it all the way to Trident. And actually that one, we have to bring up upgrade. We have to have a dedicated line back to the substation. We do that project, and then we can think about paving since all the utilities would be in the road. So I don't know if this is makes that a little bit clearer.
This is a lot clearer, and I pretty much understand. I got it.
Yeah. To, on top of everything else, okay, I'll get closer. Sorry. So on top of everything else, you've got to get financing. So we're working on that section too, because the proprietary funds just don't have the money to do it.
I guess my question for planning and maybe the city manager and Bill would be then, at what point does the city decide this project is not feasible without having assurance that you're going to have it completed based on your calendar dates there? You're looking at 2026. I know that's a long, seems like a long ways, but that isn't very far out. And money coming from the federal government or other entities, grants, are just, they're slowly going away. And we need to have that advice from management and administration. At some point, we have to make a decision before you expend much more money on this project. I'm not opposed to it, but I'm looking at what reality is. Thank you. Simon Bell?
Sorry, there. I did have a quick question, and it just, when we're talking about segment A there in the paving, did that also include realignment, or was that scaled back from what originally years ago or whenever that was originally designed?
Yes, that has been scaled back from the 65% designs that I believe have been presented before. So it's minimizing realignment. Greatest extent possible.
And what is the design speed for that road, or the suggested speed limit will be?
You know, I would have to get back to you on the we haven't gone to final design on that. I'm sure there will be curves that will have lower design speeds than the rest of the road. So I think it's going to vary a little bit. But I don't have a precise answer for you at this time.
Okay. What's presented there, as far as the graphic, it does narrow down or kind of make it a little more clear on what exactly we're talking about. So thank you for that.
Good. Thank you, Councilman Bell. Councilman Robinson?
Yeah. I don't know if this might be late in the game, but Trident's got a tremendous amount of rock out there that they need to get rid of at no cost. And is there any thought of maybe dumping that in the drink to maybe cut down on the cost of some of the realignment?
Yeah, I mentioned that to staff the other day, that did we look at putting rock in the water to make the turn bigger to avoid the whatever you call it. Anyway, and I think, I'm not sure that's been fully evaluated, but then every time you go on the water, you got to get a permit from the Corps of Engineers and Fish and Wildlife Service, et cetera. But I think it needs to be evaluated. But, you know, we're talking about 70 plus, really everybody knows here that those numbers are going to change between now and whenever you bid. It's 70 million now. What's it going to be at when it finally gets done? It's going to be a lot more than that. And right now we're putting in for 12 million or $13 million. So we got a long ways to go. We got a long ways to go. And maybe we should hire a grant writer to just write grants for all these segments. I don't know. It might be worth it too. Otherwise, I'm not sure the thing gets done or how it's going to get done. You can pull money out of the bank and pay for it, but return on investment isn't going to be that high. I think there's peripheral benefits from having Trident down there that we're not fully aware of yet. But that's a heck of a lot of money.
Just, if I may, just add on that a little bit. We have started looking into the rock issue that they already have. They have around 200,000 cubic yards of shot rock. And we have already permitted, we have a core permit for 120,000 cubic yards below mean tide, high tide. So there could be some synergies and advantages of working together. They're in the process of getting applying for a core permit, but they don't have it in hand. We have it in hand. So we're trying to, we have started that process to see if it can make sense for us to do it. Hopefully reduce the cost to the general project, make the road wider and safer, and reduce costs in general.
We just need to figure out how to get free armor stone.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Any further questions?
So we did have some additional slides prepared. The next slide, the second slide, which is the next slide, I believe. Yeah, this is, we had discussed this as well a little bit, but this is the segment A, and when you see CTP, you can also think of that as STIP funding. It's one and the same. CTP is just a sub-program of the state transportation infrastructure program, STIP. So yes, and as mentioned before, we're looking at the grant match of 24%, which even though it's a 13.1 or 2 million dollar project, the grant match required would be 3.16, and that's under the CTP. In the CTP, they deliver the project, which means that they design it, bid it, contract it, and then it is delivered to the municipality, and we take ownership and maintenance requirements. Under the RAISE project or the grant application, we perform the work, we bid it out, we contract it. So that's a little bit different. Also in the RAISE, there is no required match. So there would be no local community monies going towards that project. Next slide, please.
We're going to move up to the mic. Just to be clear, that means if we get the one grant, that's going to mean $3 million from the general fund. Everybody understands that.
So in this slide, it's just sort of going over the impacts of utilities. The main points in segment B, which is this waterline extension project to North Pacific Fuel. It's really a critical project for the water utility. We've gotten Denali Commission funding for the design portion of this, and previously councils appropriated $800,000 of ARPA funding for this project. And now we're looking at CAPSIS to fill in the balance, as well as we're pursuing state revolving loan funds for the balance. On the electrical utility, as mentioned before, we have electrical conduit all the way to the end of the right-of-way, which is at the OSI entrance. On wastewater, again, we'd only put in wastewater service if we get the CTP paving project. We'd have to put that in ahead of time before we pave.
So just for clarity on water, you said you're going to put in for SRF loan for the remainder, which is how much?
$3.6 million.
So $3.6 million. So the water company would have to pay that back.
Yes.
Over time.
Yeah, over time.
And has anybody looked at whether or not the rate would...
We haven't gotten that far into that.
Okay. No. Thank you.
Next slide, please. So on the just the highlights of the paving, again, this is just for segment A. The scope of the CTP / STIP project ends just past Overnight Creek. Again, the raise scope would end right past the Pyramid Creek intersection, which coincides with the water main, end of the water main. And then the paving would only happen after all other utilities are in the ground, would we consider pursuing additional paving projects and funds to do such. Next slide, please. So this is just what you saw on the sort of the graphic put into a chart format. Has a little bit additional information, pulling out the past appropriations, which gives some outstanding requirements per segment and per utility. Next slide. Oh.
Can you explain what the past appropriation
is? Yeah, so if we look at water, the 1.2 on that, the past appropriation looks at, we have the roughly $400,000 from Denali Commission, as well as the $800,000 from ARPA funding. And so on that one, we have the 1.3, which is the, that's already been, there was a $2.86 million under 1% that has been appropriated through the McCushion Geothermal Project, as well as there was $2.86 million appropriated in FY23 from the general fund. That's an estimate that has been prepared from by EPS. Yes, it's an estimate. Correct. A portion of that 6.7 is appropriated. Eight minus 5.7, then we have 2.3 as the outstanding requirement. So the complex is similar to the 4.8 of the water. Some of that is appropriated and some is not similar. Oh, okay, sorry. We've all been racking our brains as how to.
It's a lot of balls to juggle in the air, and I really appreciate the work you guys have done, put it together. But it's helped me a lot begin to understand. And for me, I need to know how much money we got to go get, and it's a lot.
Yes, and I yes.
So with a total of 8 in there, so the 5.7 is already. So we're just 2.3, what we're trying to cover.
Yes, the 2.3 is what we'll have to find.
We got to find somewhere else, or yeah, okay.
So you got to find 11.2 in sewer, 8.3 in water, 2.3 in electric and paving 37. And that number will likely grow. I mean, if you would ask me how to do the project as inefficiently as possible, I would do that in phases.
And I do have to apologize. I just realized that safety improvements project is incorrectly under segment C instead of segment B. And so I will move that number to the right segment. So sorry about that. Any other questions on this table?
Outstanding requirement 63.6.
Councilman Robinson.
So you have segment A, B, C, and C.
Duly noted, A, B, C, and D. I'm sorry.
Thank you. I got to looking for segment D. It wasn't on segment D.
Councilman Luby.
So looking at the 63.9 left to go find, is there an idea of how much in grants that we can seek to go after for that? Do you have ideas of grants that are out there that might be available? Or are we looking at, we don't know where we're going to come up with that?
Well, I would say we're currently pursuing $13.2 million in grants for the paving, as well as another $3.6 million in grants to finish out the waterline extension. Beyond that, I don't have a specific idea of grants, but I think, as Chris has mentioned, if it's a matter of finding those grants, and maybe a grant writer would really assist us in identifying and applying for the grants, but I don't have specific information.
Chris, go ahead.
Therein lies the problem. It's too big to get it all on the stip in 1 year. That's why there's been several years of delay in even getting to this point. So 12 million, I don't know. There's been some years when there was only 36 million available statewide. So it's unrealistic to think that you're going to get it all from the stip. It's unrealistic to think that we're just going to go to the legislature and they're going to give it all to us. But believe me, we are looking under every rock for as much money as we can. It's how to put all of this together, and it might have to be financed. It's where the rubber meets the road.
That was my concern. My point was that we at what point, that's where we need to know. At what point, it has to be soon. We have to make a decision as a council how far we're going to get into this when we get over our ears before we know what happened. We got a project and spent $35 million. That's a real decision that somebody has to make other than the community. Chris, and
this doesn't take into account some of the things that are on the CMMP and some of the things that aren't on the CMMP, such as but not limited to repaving Airport Beach Road. I mean, we got a lot of cuts through that road right now from GCI. So those are going to be wearing, et cetera. And, you know, it's not on the list, but it's definitely coming. So it's just all the things that you got to take into consideration. And I think after having said all of that, you're going to have grants to do this project.
Councilman Luby, then Hungle, then Bell.
So I agree with you that we do need a grant writer. I know there's money out there that we just have to search for, but the time it takes to find it and the time it takes to write for, you know, the documentation for the grants, that I do feel like we need a grant writer. And you know, and I've said before, I think it would be kind of with the trilateral agreement, you know, the tribe needs grant writers as well, you know, and maybe we can team up with them and share one. Maybe it's too much for one person for both sides, but I think that we really should look into a grant writer because I think it would, you know, be beneficial to the city. Otherwise, we are going to end up financing or it's not going to happen. And I think even I think that it's a great project. I think that there's a lot of people in this community that drive that road. And, you know, it's not good for their health. They're, you know, bouncing around out there every day on that, you know, on that dirt road. So I think it's a good project. And I think we really do need to seriously look at how we can look for some federal money or state money. And I think right now is the time. And as over the next 2 years, and then after that, who knows, but it may change.
Well, thank you, Councilman Tungle, and Councilman Bell.
Yeah, so as you said, we're doing this in a segment. So without the paving, we're up about 21.8 million, right? So is there what we can apply for some grant for that part before we get into further onto the paving before this? Because it looks scary when you go all the way to the end with a tire number with the paving. So with 21.8 doing all the sewer, electric, and water, and with some grant, I think the numbers looks better than looking at the 63.6. Does that make?
Or worse, depending on how you look at it. So how many miles of road is that? 3 point something? The road,
from to OSI, it's 2.62 OSI, and then it's another mile or so to, depending on where you go in the LFS property.
So $40 million for
that. Councilman Bell, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. I would agree with the whole concept of a grant writer. I mean, we're down what, I don't know what the last number was, some 20 some employees in the city. You know, writing grants takes a lot of time and effort, and we definitely would benefit from having someone that does that, just does that task full time. And then the other comment I'll just touch on is, as we're going along here, and I think this kind of dovetails off of what Mayor Tudiakoff is saying, is looking at what the impact to the utility rates are. You know, when you look at the water, and that may be a bad example because there's a desperately needed upgrade there. But, you know, adding an $8 million water storage tank and a bunch of water improvements along this road, are we going to be looking at, you know, maybe a small percentage increase in rates, or are we looking down the road at a large percentage increase in rates? And you can use that same philosophy through sewer, electric, and, you know, just things to keep in mind. And as we go along and we get a better idea on what potential grants we may be able to get, I think those numbers will become clearer, but it's something we need to keep in mind. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Bell. Councilman Nicholson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I do agree about possibly getting a grant writer for this to help pay for this, but you know, Captain's Bay Road project, this is something I'm very glad that you did break things down for us. This makes it a lot clearer, but that is going to be a well-traveled road. It already is a very well-traveled road. I've been going up and down that road for many years now, and I've replaced a lot of shocks, but this is something that I really am in support of to get this accomplished, and the sooner we can get it done, the less we're going to pay. You know, like they said, that $70 million, you know, 3-4 years from now, that could be up to 100. So, yeah, as soon as we can get this done, I'm all for it. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilman Nicholson, for questions for, or not your slides. Do you have more slides? Councilman Robinson.
Another thing we need to consider is what kind of load is this going to put on the sewer system, and can the sewer, our current system, handle the additional projected load?
That's a very good point. The sewer will have to be looked at, and it may require upgrades to the plant or whatnot. So that's, without having specifics of the future ratepayer, it's really hard to do that sort of analysis, but it definitely needs to be done. And I guess just a general preface is that, yes, utilities before paving, and utilities only if there's a rate paying customer that will use the utilities. So we're not going to put utilities in the ground for potential, for sort of question marks. And it's not based on, it will have to be, you know, definitely customers, rate payers down the road, will utilities, and then paving will come after that if possible. So I think there's one more slide, Bill. Are you going to present this? I think you have a version of the slide. Okay, so there's no more questions for me. I'll pass it over to Bill.
Next slide. There's so, Martin, you can zoom in on that. Oh, yeah. The numbers match. So there's a chart on the wall. That's our usual large CMMP over there. We stapled over to our wall over there on Dennis's side. The number for the project on that will be different by 6.9 million, only because past funded projects fall off that chart. So I wanted to be sure when you go over there, it's like, wow, it's only adding up to, remember that we have already appropriated funded basically 6.9 million, 5.7 from the electrical proprietary fund, and another 1.2 from the water, basically, for water. But if we move over then a little bit, Marjorie, to the 2024 then.
I think
a lot of it's our past CMMP for electrical.
That was the previous 2.86 from the 1% fund and 2.86 from the general fund that was appropriated through the.
Perfect. Thank you. Question. I just wanted to know it wasn't from the proprietary fund. Thank you.
You can't. That's okay. That's fine. We'll just do that because that there is where we're. So now hopefully it makes a little more sense. And what we did was we hit a lot of the, you know, there's how many columns and how many rows. So we cut all those out of that big chart on the wall and just focused on this project. And so one of the other things we did, we kind of divided up by the fund. Okay. Before it was one line on the project chart. And then we had, you know, whether it was general fund or proprietary fund or external, which could be a lot of things. Grants, you know, is probably the top. So now you can see that the 2024 project on CMMP for this is going to look like $19 million for FY24, $20 million total from FY25, and $24 million for FY26 to come up over that total, which would include the 6.5 you know, something million that we already appropriated to $70 million, 70.4. And now you can see which fund they're going to come out of in some way, right? Mm-hmm. It'd be an electrical project. So that's the electrical phase of the project. And if you zoom back in, Marjorie, so what I'm saying is you'll see that that is all external from FY24. Go back over to the right there. Yes, please. That's good. It's all external. For the yellow is electric phase of the project. Let me be clear. The next one is wastewater or sewer, I should say. 50,000.
Okay, the 3.168, that's what we're talking about.
That's general fund.
Mm-hmm. The external is 9.2.
Oh, that's our match. Yeah.
Sorry. 9.9 million from the state of Alaska gets you 13.1, right?
Yes.
Okay, what's the 3.6 in green?
That's water. It's external.
And that's a grant?
Correct.
Grant. That's the yellow. Okay, and then the 2.3 from electric is external. External what? That's from the what?
Which grant source? Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but there's talk of an earmark, discretionary, a 2.5 million from the federal government. It could be other source, other external forces, external sources as well.
That's the one we got, Steve? Okay, so we already got that. So if DOT comes through, we will be covered for FY24. Everybody's got that?
Yes.
All right. Took me a while to figure that out. And then when you go to 25, we are not real sure where all that external money is coming from, correct?
We know it's external.
That's what we know. All right.
And then there's a 26 as well, which is, you know, it's... But now you can see by what utility project it is. Electric, water, general fund for paving, et cetera, or sewer.
Councilman Luby, then Councilman Coleman.
The last time we talked about this at the last meeting, we had around $6 million for the Captain's Bay project under the general fund. So am I not seeing this right where it says green? Did something change, or am I missing something? This one is the grant that's up on the screen.
The 3.1 million in pink under 2024 general fund is what we're committing to the STIP here in a couple days.
Okay, I got it.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then then there's still 3 million that will.
Now, to make that even more confusing, there's another grant that doesn't have a match. Okay. So if we get that, then you don't have to use the 3.1 from the general.
Okay, great. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Coleman.
Sure, let me if I remember all my questions. Okay, well, first, while looking at the 1% sales, it was past administration that 1% from now until the next 4 years was supposed to go to UPD building. Has that changed? It was dedicated. That was the whole point. It was that fund money was supposed to be dedicated to that building. So again, that was previous management that was the plan.
I think you're referring to the 1%, the 2.86 that was appropriated in FY22 through the McCushion geothermal project.
Okay, so that up there that says 1% sales tax
fund
has already been,
yeah,
that was already been, because I know there was you have it for 2024. I'll have to go back and look at my
Yeah, so that's in the past appropriated section, and that actually was appropriated in FY22.
Okay. Well, good. One answer. So section D that we never really talked about, that's not city road, city property. Why are we
not
looking
at the time,
at
no.
Monies? For those utilities in areas that aren't our property.
So what I think those are the kind of questions that are still in flux. And I think honestly, it helps to stay at the 30,000 level about how this project works. It's almost like, what's the name of the road going to be for a subdivision? There's obviously going to have to be some discussions with that user, how to fund that part. And for example, do we want as a community to have a road that's public all the way to how we have it now, and then suddenly it's private? Normally, that kind of thing would be dedicated over to the city. It's built to city standards. The utilities are put in according to city standards. And then we'd accept that through council, and then that's a public road. We have not had all those discussions yet. They're still assessing what they want to do, but we are trying to be ready for if and when that happens.
And the other question I have is, okay, the paving, the step. So say we get it. What's the timeline that says that, okay, this project needs to be secured and underway? Because I think it ties your hand to like, oh, you got this paving. Well, now all of a sudden we got to do all this other stuff. It seems really weird that we put in for a project that we're not quite ready for. So, I mean, if they say, hey, you get this, do we have 5 years to use the money?
So if we get that money, $13 million, then we will have to deploy that and realize that we won't have to dig it up for any utilities because all of that is in there. So that's why we're comfortable for applying for that. Right. Utilities are all in that phase.
In the
13.2.
Right.
I thought it was the paving.
Paving and. Paving and the sewer.
Right. To.
Electric's already in.
To westward. Or water, right past westward.
Electric's already in. Water's already in. And a bit of sewer that's
and I can go for that, but you just got through saying, well, if you're doing a paving project, you wouldn't just stop and do it by segment. But that's what we're going to have to do because we won't have anything with utilities past Westwood. Well, other than what you said.
Okay, let's back up to the 30,000-foot level on why we're only going westward, because it's the dollar amount that they're willing to move towards getting.
So,
yeah, if there would be a whole, what you bring up is a good point. If they have, hey, we've got $20 million for paving, it could go past westward. Now we're in panic mode.
Okay.
Now we're in panic mode because we got to get that water line, the sewer line, and electric conduit is already in all the way to OSI.
So that, but if we, so say we get it, and then maybe I'm just, I should just wait till we have this discussion because I'm,
No, this is good.
It's like, so the paving is a go, but that is only to westward, and we'll deal with the sewer, and it includes it, like, we'll get all that.
Yep.
And that's, yeah.
It's part of the contract. Or part
and that,
of the
and
project.
That, that's a go for that within a year or whatever, I guess. Yeah. I don't, so the question is how quick do you have to?
This wouldn't happen until the summer of 24 at the earliest.
Okay.
At the earliest. Correct?
At the earliest. The state DOT has projected that wouldn't happen, I believe, for the three construction seasons. So 23, 24, 25. They're talking about paving 25. They're talking about design and permitting in 23, 24, and then paving in 25.
Okay.
And to your point about the utilities, we've already committed to extending the water line in that 1,200 feet that the STIP CTP project paves over. And you're right, we have 1,200 feet of sewer, that there could be a scenario where, let's say, the ratepayer down the road ends up not materializing, and then we would have to make that decision, but whether we put that sewer in the road or not. And but we're presenting the worst case scenario here.
Okay.
And so we still have a year or two to make that decision and figure out if we do have a ratepayer down the road. But we're just trying to present the worst case scenario in this point of view.
Okay, thank you. Is that it, Bill?
Just three questions?
One more question.
Okay.
I'm hoping that we'll get this presentation, and so I'll have a better chance to study it.
Sure. I understand.
This by no means is like the end, because CMMP is coming too, and that's another opportunity to talk about it. But we definitely want to make sure City Council understands exactly what's going on with this project. So if anybody asks you, you can answer that question.
Well, we're going to send them to Bill.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you. This clears a lot of the smoke in the air about what's happening with that project. I know this is an important project. I agree, it's a well-traveled road, and industry and passengers, the public need to have this road safe, including our ambulances and everything else that head out that way. Time is of the essence in them cases, and you can't go any faster than when the real wheels hit the ground. So we just have to keep an eye on it. Make at some point, I feel we have to make a decision, and it's coming up soon, in another year and a half. We don't have the funding to complete it to OSI. We need to make a decision what we're going to do. Okay. All right. Thank you. Thanks, guys. What's next?
I'd just like to add one last thing, if I could, Mr. Mayor. I mean, we're going to take every opportunity we can to figure out how to do this project, as long as the council tells us keep moving forward. I mean, if there's a way that we can figure out how to pave the entire thing while a paving plan is here, we'd be fools not to. If we can figure out where money is for a segment of the water, sewer, et cetera, we're going to figure that out. It doesn't mean just because we have no idea where all the money is right now, we're going to do our best to work magic to make it happen. It's going to be a team effort.
Well, thank you for that one. We're done with the Captain's Bay Road Improvement and Utility Upgrade review on the project. And I'll need a motion to return to regular session.
Make a motion to return to regular session.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Robinson, second by Councilman Nicholson. Hearing no objections, we'll be back in regular session at 7:14 p.m. We're now in regular session. Persons wish to speak on the regular agenda must sign up with the city clerk. The first item is resolution 2023-07, approving the council's goals for FY24 budget. We have a motion and second to adopt resolution 2023-07.
Move to adopt resolution 2023-07.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Coleman, second by Councilman Robinson. I'll turn this over to the city manager for introduction.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, council members. Kind of interesting to come back and see this, because I think I might have made this up in 2012 or 13. I can't remember. Not much has changed. I'm going to go through what these goals are. And of course, the city council are the policy makers and the keepers of the strings to the budget. What we're doing is putting together a big puzzle called the budget. And we're going to take pieces from the Captain's Bay Road project and from the CMNP and the capital projects for revenues, and putting it all together as we move towards what I hope to be the approval of the budget this year in May, as opposed to the second meeting in June. And of course, one of the pieces of the puzzle is the school, how much the school is going to request. But this is just gives the staff some ideas, some assumptions on how to put the budget together. I'm going to go through them. First one is the personnel goals. This is an easy one because we can't find people to work, so we're not going to be adding any positions this year. The general fund surplus deficit is no deficit spending. It's up to the council. If you want to pull money out of the bank and do more capital projects, I think we're talking about deficit spending within the operating budget and not talking about capital. That's totally up to you guys what you want to do. Proprietary funds, as I've said, we're going to do a work session just on proprietary funds so you understand where they are. One of the things we found out this past week with the ports project is $2 million was transferred to cover the dredging project and took them the negative. They don't have the money to transfer $2 million, so it needs to be transferred back. What happens when a proprietary fund goes negative, your auditors show up and go, you can't do this. You have to transfer money from the general fund to cover your negative balances in the proprietary funds. So it's just something we need to be cognizant of. And you always check your cash flow before you you make any transfers out of your general fund surplus. Because if you don't have the cash flow, you don't have the cash to spend. Anyway, I think you understand that. Operating expenses due to the CPI, we're trying to bring it in at no more than 5%. And of course, one of the goals is to examine ways that you can, you know, make reductions to the budget. But with the price of things the way they're going, that's a tough deal to do with the price of commodities. Capital projects, we're going to get there. We are going to have really serious talks about what's on the CMMP, how it got there. And if the proprietary fund doesn't have $7 million for a water tank, why is it on the CMMP? So they can't afford it. And then we might not need it if things go right. But how things get on the CMMP, we're going to have a discussion about that. And if you don't understand, I was the gatekeeper for the CMMP when I was here before, and I rate the directors over the coals on how are you going to pay for this. We don't know how we're going to pay for it. We've got to figure that out before we put it on the CMMP. So there's things that have moved forward that we don't have a clue how we're going to pay for it. And then it pops up like the water tank for next year and everybody goes. So we're going to have those kind of discussions. And I think we need to come up with a way to have a parking lot that says we're not like we're not working on this project, but until we figure out how to fund it, we can't move it forward. Unless the city council wants to appropriate money for it and do a study, but it's still not going to move forward until we have the funding and the money. Of course, revenues, I think we pointed out in slide 22 that Clay put together a couple weeks ago that revenues are staying at about $30 million and expenses are going through the roof. It's not something that the city council needs to panic about right now. You have money in the bank, but it's a policy decision for you guys what you want to do. Do you want to keep building that fund up? Do you want to spend a certain amount of it? That's all city council policy decisions. Of course, debt service, we always talked about, I got to keep moving forward. We always talked about the need to, before you go into debt, you have to figure out how you're going to pay for it, do the rate studies, et cetera. So that's one of the things you're going to see in some of the budgets and the proprietary funds. What's a rate study that's needed for the various proprietary funds? And also, we'll probably be doing one on the UMC because you did the project. We went into debt to do the project. And I agree, it was a project that needed to be done, but the revenues aren't, if you're going negative by doing a project of that size, you need to figure out how much money you need to keep in reserve. And it's usually at least 6 months of your operating fund. And that's the same for a general fund too. That's the same for proprietary funds. You should have at least 6 months of operating in cash in case something happens. And so we need a rate study for the UMC too. And then we got 2 years to figure out how to fund that project, because the Corps is supposed to come here 2 years from now to dredge. And when the dredge is here, we want to make sure we take advantage of that to dredge what we need to do. And I think there are some options for that. You can take it out of the 1% fund. You can take it out of the general fund. But the proprietary fund does not have that money. So we'll be bringing that forward when we talk about the CMMP. But I think we're in pretty good shape where I'd like to be right now with the budget. And if you guys have any questions or concerns about how this is all going to come together, please don't hesitate to contact me. Questions? Goals are pretty straightforward.
Councilman Luby, then Councilman Bell.
Okay, so well, we talked about the one per, or the special fund, special revenue funds, and so we're going to see those at a later date. So then the other part of it is the operating expenses here that we were that you kind of went over, and there is a little piece missing in there, and that has to do with the tobacco excise tax. Mm-hmm. So in that, the code says that that it would be part of the community grants, community support grant program, mm-hmm. for, and it could be used for healthcare. So that is not in here in this.
No, I think that was later than when I wrote this.
Oh, because this was before. Oh, because this has been, it hasn't been revised.
It hasn't been revised.
Okay.
So that if you want to revise it.
And well, and that's what I was going to suggest, that maybe we do an amendment before we
pass it.
Mm-hmm. And I have amendment with the wording from code so that we could do that. And the other one, other little thing that everybody's expenses are going up, including the cities. I agree. But I feel like the community support programs grants, we should amend that to say 4%. I don't know the way the rest of the council feels about that, so I'd like to hear what they have to say about it. I feel like, to increase that 3.5 to 4% isn't a whole lot to the city. Our sales tax has gone up, and we always have the ability to raise the mill rate if we need to cover the budget. And I don't feel like anybody in this community would have a problem with increasing support to our nonprofits. I have not seen one single fundraiser in this town where everybody in this community does not come out and support that and donate. And they, people raise a lot of money because this community cares. And so I don't feel like the community would really have a problem with this. So that's just my views, but anyway, I'd like to hear what other council members have to feel about the upping that to 4%.
Councilman Bell and Councilman Robinson.
I didn't really have any questions on this, but I will comment on Councilman Luby's proposed amendment, and looking at this resolution speaks to the goals that we want to accomplish in this budget cycle, and I think an increase on the grants to 4% can be a conversation that can be added or had later as we get into further into the budget cycle. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Councilman Robinson. Next.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say as far as increasing the amount of funding to the nonprofits. We need to first figure out where the money is going to come from for our operating budget and nail that down. And a good portion of that is from the school. And once we get through those areas, then I think that discussion can be had. it's entirely possible that that may get reduced because of the costs of, that everybody is incurring. I'd hate to see that, but it's entirely possible. So, thanks.
Thank you, Councilman Robinson. Well, you can hold your amendment or you can bring it forward, whatever.
So I will make a motion to amend resolution 2023-07 to include the code for the community grants for the excise the sales sales or I'm sorry the tobacco excise sales tax to be able to contribute that to healthcare the way the code reads. And I have an amendment here. I can give to Margie so that she can include that if she would like. Do you need me to read the whole thing?
I'll second that.
Motion's been made to amend the excise tax on tobacco tax, is that that one? 1% to utilize for the community projects.
Don't know worries.
And the motion to amend has two items in it. Are you, is that still going or just one? Not including the 4% increase. Okay. Okay, it's just the 1% tobacco tax to be increasing.
Sir, yeah, I'm sorry, it's not a 1% tax.
Read it.
Yeah, if Councilmember Luby could make her motion in full, please.
In paragraph 2 under operating expenses. After it's right there at the end of this, at the end of the paragraph, after completed fiscal year, I would like to insert additionally all of the tobacco excise tax fund balance for the most recent completed fiscal year may be used for any public health programs or tobacco education and cessation programs that are applied for through the City of Unalaska's Community Support Grant Program. And that's all it will say.
Okay, that was moved by Councilman Luby and seconded by Councilman Robinson. Only two, that would only benefit two entities?
Yes, and it's code. It's what was passed when they passed the tobacco excise tax. That was the wording that was put into the code. So I'm just including code into this to kind of go right along with the way the whole community support program is calculated.
Yeah, I'd say that because there's lots of people do not understand what we're talking about. When we talk about a percentage of excise tax that go to one or two groups, they need to understand it's already been, we already approved that process about a year and a half ago.
Yes, right, that's right. It's already in place. So we're just clarifying it in our goals.
Just bringing the resolution to code.
Okay, any further questions? Hearing none, I'll call for a roll call vote on the amendment to resolution 2022-04. Whatever.
I'd like a vote on amendment. The resolution
for the amendment.
Gotcha. Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Yes. Mr. Nicholson?
Yes.
Mr. Robinson?
Yes.
Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
Mr. Tungle?
Yes.
On a roll call vote of 6-0, the amendment passes. Any further amendment? Hearing none, we'll vote the main motion.
So this is a vote on resolution 2023-07 as amended?
As amended.
Mr. Robinson?
Yes.
Mr. Tungle?
Yes.
Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
Ms. Luby?
Yes.
Mr. Bell? Who muted himself? Just a moment. We're not done.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Bell. Mr. Nicholson?
Yes.
Sorry about that. The roll call vote of 6-0. Resolution 2023-07 has been approved. Council goals for FY24 budget. Next item, resolution 2023-08, approving the mayor's appointments to committees and commissions. I have a motion and a second to adopt resolution 2023-08.
I move to adopt resolution 2023-08.
I'll second.
Moved by Councilman Tungle, second by Councilman Luby. I'll turn this over to the city manager or clerk.
All right, council. So as you know, the members of committees and commissions are appointed by the mayor, subject to the approval of the council. All of these members listed in the resolution are regional members have applied to retain their seats, and the mayor has appointed them, and it's just up to you for approval.
Okay, thank you. any discussion by council on the appointments? Councilman Robinson?
Yeah, I'd like to thank the people for stepping back up. It seems that it gets tougher and tougher to fill some of these boards in certain times, but really appreciate the folks that are stepping up for doing that.
Great. Thank you. Okay. City clerk, has anyone signed up to provide public comment?
No, they have not.
Resolution 2023-08, approving the mayor's appointments and committees and commissions, been moved by Councilman Tungle, second by Councilman Luby. I'll request a roll call vote.
Certainly, sir. Ms. Luby?
Yes.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Yes.
Mr. Nicholson?
Yes.
Mr. Robinson?
Yes.
Mr. Tungle?
Yes.
Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
Let's see. With this vote, the council has adopted resolution 2023-08. 6-0 in favor of the resolution. Next item is the council directives to the city manager. If there are any directives, we need a motion and a second. Councilman Luby?
I have a motion to direct the city manager to conduct a research and provide information to council at a future meeting regarding the senior citizen sales tax refund. So council has informed information necessary to determine if the refund amount should be increased due to increases in the cost of living and whether council should consider tightening eligibility requirements for the refund. Please also include the number of applicants per year for the last 5 years, the present eligibility requirements and any proposed additional eligibility requirements. Thank you.
Second.
That's been moved by Councilman Luby and seconded by Councilman Coleman to have direct city manager to evaluate the Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Coleman?
Yes.
Bell?
Yes.
Ruby?
Yes.
Nicholson?
Yes.
Tungle?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
On a roll call vote of 6-0 in favor of the directive. It has been passed and approved by the council. Any further directives to the city manager? Okay, thank you for that. Next, we've got community input and announcements. It's a final opportunity to provide information to the council or make announcements. Okay. Are there any written comments submitted, or is anyone on Zoom?
No, sir.
Okay, thank you. This time, let's see, we request a motion to go into executive session. Need a motion and second.
I move to go into executive session to discuss city manager recruitment and personnel issues, which, if discussed in public, may tend to harm the reputation of a person. Present in executive session will be the mayor, the council members, along with interim city manager Chris Laddick.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Luby, second by Councilman Tungle. Hearing no objections, we are in executive session at 7:37. By the way. Okay, we're in executive session. We'll clear the room. Thank you very much.
For those on Zoom, I will end the meeting now.
Take a couple minute break or what? Yeah, we'll take a break here and wait for